Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7. Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey guys, how's it going?
I know that had to excite you to learn that Big Joe's returning to Knoxville tomorrow.
That makes the day a lot more tolerable. I'll say that.
As he has this big fat guy who bumps into him trying to get to his press box seat, I look down. I'm like, oh hey, Ryan, how are you, buddy?
You know, I don't like the I don't like the UT press box. You know why?
Why?
You can't move the chairs around, right? Do they still have those attached chairs that just
roll? They do not.
They've got chairs that actually move.
If you've covered games, last game you covered was 97 with Woody Woodenhofer at Neyland. They've changed some since then.
Really? Yeah, I've been up there since then. But anyway, hey, how you doing, Ryan?
Doing well, but that is right. They've changed the press box quite a bit there the last decade or so.
Yeah, good. I'll leave it to you guys. You guys can have it. All right. Hey, Brian Maurer. I mean, is the keys to the castle been totally turned over to him? And that's question number one. And just how Garantano is handling all of this.
Well, that's the amazing thing. I think he is handling it really well, and that shows you how far he's come from. Of course, people who've been following for a few years at least will remember how he handled the 2017 season opener so visibly on national TV, being frustrated with the situation when he wasn't getting into the game and Quentin Dormady was the starter under Butch Jones. So I think he has come a long way with that. He's been supportive and a team guy at every turn, it sounds like. And you even saw him on national TV Saturday night going and checking on Brian Maurer on the field and sort of helping him off. After he took that big shot late in the game. So he really has, I think, been pretty supportive of this and knows, I think he has to be. I think he has to handle this well because whether he's ever the guy again at Tennessee or whether this is just the final step before he goes somewhere else as a grad transfer or whatever the case, he needs to handle this well. He needs this to be not a bad mark on his resume that he didn't handle it very well, that he wasn't a team guy. He needs this to be something that's a positive. So if he needs to go somewhere else or if he needs to be the guy again at Tennessee, coaches can look at this and say, you know what, that's the kind of guy we want in our program.
And Maurer, though, is it basically his the rest of the way if he stays healthy?
I don't think he's done just enough at this point that you can say that just yet, but it's certainly looking like it's headed that way. I mean, last week was a really good debut for him. To throw for 205 yards in the first half against the number three team in the country is a pretty nice way to start. And I'll say this. I mean, this puts it in the context of how much Tennessee has struggled. Jarrett Garantano has thrown for 200 yards in a game 5 times in his Tennessee career. Maurer did that in the first half of his first game. So that shows you the kind of life he injected into this offense that has been struggling so much the first 4 games. So if he continues to do that or anything resembling that and he doesn't become a turnover machine, I think he's going to be in there for a while. I do. I think he's going to get a shot, but I think it's a tenuous enough situation that if he starts turning it over more, if it's a if the production's not there this week, next week, whatever the case might be, I don't think they'll hesitate to make a change. So he still needs to earn it and continue to solidify himself. But if he keeps doing what he did last week, he's going to stay in there, I think.
You know, if you go back and watch the touchdown pass he threw to Callaway in the first quarter, the way he got protection, the way he kind of stepped around the pressure and delivered that ball, that looked good, Ryan. That looked really good for the moment, what was going on a Saturday night on ESPN playing against Georgia. He looked good on that moment. It's just that, the problem was could they sustain it the entire game? Obviously, you couldn't, but for that one play, he looked really good.
He did, and that's those are the couple things you mentioned there are things that Garantano has struggled with at times. He doesn't always feel the pocket very well. He doesn't have the internal clock as much that the quarterbacks really need to have. He's always struggled with getting rid of the ball quickly. Maurer had a great feel for it. I thought for the most part throughout the game, aside from the blitz he didn't see that just led to him getting destroyed on that fourth quarter play, but he definitely looked the part there, stepped into the pocket well, made a nice throw, and hit a deep ball that Tennessee has not had much luck with that so far this year up to that point. So, yeah, he looked good there. I thought he looked even better in some ways on the second touchdown, the pass across the middle to Juwan Jennings, splitting two defenders, putting the ball in a pretty tight window where only the receiver could catch it, and he hit him in stride. He didn't have to stop, turn his body. It was right where Juwan Jennings could catch the ball and keep strolling into the end zone. So he made a couple really nice throws on those touchdown passes, and that's the kind of thing that makes you think he really can take this job and run with it.
You know, they were going really great, and then the kicker, Somali, I can't even pronounce his last name, misses the field goal. And it's kind of like UT fans in the atmosphere was waiting for something bad to happen. And once he missed the field goal, it was, you could tell, like, here we go, like that. But, you know, for that quarter and a half, though, Ryan, that's the best I've seen them play under Pruitt in a year and a half.
Yeah, I think it's right up there. It's either that or the Auburn game last year, probably, and that was a game where they just hit a bunch of big plays, and it was almost kind of a fluky good offensive performance. So, I don't disagree at all. And they had the defense playing well enough, sort of holding Georgia in check for at least a quarter and a half, and then Georgia kind of turned it on a little bit there right before halftime and took the lead and added to it right before halftime. So. That was a really impressive start, and yeah, you wonder how much this team can duplicate that over the final seven games. You know, I think they've got better football in them certainly than what they've shown to this point. But you know, can they consistently do something like that? That's obviously the key to the rest of this season. But that certainly, I think, gives this team a lot of confidence. Even though the game didn't end the way really any better score wise, you know, if you didn't watch the game and you just saw 43-14, you'd say more of the same. But they obviously looked pretty good for a quarter and a half, and I think that was something for Tennessee to build off of. So despite that game turning out lopsided and everything, I think they really did take some positives from that and say, you know what? We play like that, we can win some games down the stretch.
Well, and a very winnable game with Mississippi State, too, at Ryan Callahan 24-7 with us. One thing I know has to drive Pruitt to be a defensive side of the ball, a guy on that side of the ball, is just missed tackles, and they've really struggled with that. Now you got Mississippi State tailback Kylan Hill coming in, who leads the SEC in yards after contact. So this team, I'm surprised. Maybe it's just the lack of depth at linebacker and what they're going to do to maybe even add some depth there, but this team's not a very good tackling team.
Yeah, it's not been, and they really just in general they just haven't been making plays enough on defense. I think you just look at what they have. You know, we haven't seen much from the cornerbacks as far as breaking up a ton of passes, interceptions, things like that. You haven't seen Darrell Taylor getting to the quarterback consistently, and the defensive line's been just okay, obviously, with the three guys from last year all gone. That new group up front has not been particularly strong. So it's just a defense that's struggling to do a lot very well right now. And so you kind of the best you can hope for is that they can just keep you in games. Tomorrow could be interesting because of that. I mean, certainly Tennessee's got a chance to keep up against the Mississippi State team that doesn't have a dominant defense. But on the other hand, Mississippi State's still good enough offensively. You mentioned Kylan Hill. He's a really good running back. So, and they've got a couple decent quarterbacks. This could be a higher scoring game if Tennessee can actually keep up, because I think both teams are capable of putting up some points if they're kind of firing on all cylinders. So tomorrow will be really interesting to me. It's a big test for Tennessee on both sides of the ball. And you're right. It's a winnable game. It's a game that, could sort of be an opportunity for Tennessee to maybe turn this season around. If they can actually win this game, a bowl game is maybe back in play, whereas a few weeks ago I don't think people would have thought that. But if they can get this game, get to 2-4, you still got a handful of winnable games after this down the stretch. So this really is an important game and a big opportunity for Tennessee on both sides of the ball to show it can play better against teams that are not Georgia and Florida, that are not top 10 teams, that are more on their level, and see if they can hang with them.
Mississippi State coach Joe Moorhead has, let me see if I get these numbers right, of 10 players who have to sit out 8 games staggered. Is that the number? But and understand, reportedly, he's sitting them in the games he knows he's not going to win. Auburn, Alabama, you saw what happened at Auburn and everything. But he's playing them all in the games like this, a winnable game at Tennessee, which makes sense. But it also shows, I don't know what it says, but and they really don't announce that really until game time, too, when they trot out on the field, because it's not reflected in the depth chart.
Right. Yeah, they haven't announced that. You know, there have been some reports, I think, that have suggested the games that those guys are going to play. And I think for the most part, it's games like Tennessee, Ole Miss,
yep,
Arkansas, Kentucky. You know, like you said, it's those swing games in SEC play. And this is certainly one of them. So the expectation from everyone in and around Tennessee's program is that those guys are going to play tomorrow, and it will – obviously make the test a little bit tougher for Tennessee to have all those guys available and out there for this game. But, you know, with or without them, Mississippi State's a pretty decent team. They're not playing probably quite as well as what people might have thought they would going into the season, but they also lost a lot from last year. A ton of NFL players on last year's team. And they've still got some talent that was left over behind them, but it's just not quite as good. So that's why we do say this is a winnable game, and Mississippi State's only a 6.5-point favorite compared to the 26 or whatever last week that Georgia was. So it's a winnable game, but yeah, they still got some talent, and those guys being back from suspension for this game, in all likelihood, doesn't make things any easier for Tennessee.
Big recruiting weekend for the Vols, I would assume?
Not a particularly big one because of the noon start. The noon kickoff is always a challenge for everybody, I think, because getting players there after they play late on Friday night is tricky. So unless you have official visitors, and this weekend doesn't look like there will be many of those, it's tough to get guys there the next day that early because of the noon start. So but last week was a big weekend with Georgia in town. I think you'll see another decently sized weekend for the South Carolina game, depending on kickoff time for that. This one probably not quite to the same level, just in part because of the noon start.
Have they done pretty good holding on to guys? I know there might be one or two that have kind of left, but for the most part, has Pruitt been able to hold on to those good recruits?
They've been okay with that so far. They have had one decommitment during that span, and that was, I think, maybe more of a case of just a guy finding a better fit really early in the season. It happened in early September, and as a guy going to Louisville where he's had a teammate committed for months, and you weren't sure, you know, just how important he was to Tennessee to begin with. So that, you know, that's one of those deals that I don't think was just because Tennessee lost to Georgia State or anything like that. So they've been okay and held on to everybody so far. I do think that, you know, how that goes the rest of the year depends on how they play. I think guys in this class are still keeping an eye on how Tennessee does and making sure the season goes the way, or at least in a way that gives them hope for the future. You know, I don't think most of the commitments don't seem too worried about it. They know they can come in next year and kind of be the fix. I think that's how recruits often, you know, almost always look at it. But I think they still want to feel like they're going into a program that's headed in the right direction. And they want to make sure Tennessee doesn't go, you know, 1-11, 2-10, something like that, to make them think they're going into a program that's not headed anywhere.
Ryan, also the locking of the ice cream in the Neyland Stadium press box until halftime was a major concern to me on last week.
I told you that. I think I mentioned it here.
You did.
It's not ideal. That's one of the things that helps you get through these noon starts, especially, and It's disappointing. They've scaled back. It's just a sign of the times, I guess.
You saw, I went up there to use the bathroom like midway through the towards the latter part of the first quarter, and you see people like circling the ice cream like sharks in the water. I'm not kidding. There's like 10 or 12 of them just kept walking by and pulling on the thing and checking it, and I'm thinking, this is great. This is just great.
They're trying to cut back on repeat offenders, I guess. You had two guys who would go ice cream before, ice cream at halftime, you know. Get multiple. They're like, no, one a person. We're just keeping this to halftime through the end of the game.
Great.
Man. Well, I don't know. Do you know who Hope Hines is? Longtime sports anchor at the CBS affiliate here, Channel 5. Tell them the Vanderbilt press.
Vanderbilt had one of the worst press boxes. You could not get any food up there. And so one day Hope came by and he got two hot dogs instead of one. And the guy reaches on Hope's plate and puts one hot dog back. And Hope says, what are you doing? He's like, well, we got a lot of people coming through today. Hope grabs his hot dog, puts it back on the plate, and says, well, I guess you need to get more hot dogs. And walks off. It's a hot dog. Oh, the media.
We were complaining about free food. Hey, Ryan, have a great weekend, man. We'll talk to you next Friday. Thanks, buddy.